Good evening, Shmuel Mayevsky. Today is a very special day for me because not just for Parshas Ekev, but my youngest son, who turned 40 a couple of months ago, he made Aliyah now, and he's on the plane at the moment. A very special day. And of course, in the Midbar, I told him that after 40 years in the Midbar, they're finally B'nai Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Atah Ver Hayom Es HaYarden. And for him, that's truly the day is today. So it's a very special day for us as a family. His wife and four children are all making Aliyah today. They should be landing in a few hours. And what's really striking, when I asked him, one of the things that clinched it for him was truly, other than the fact that he's always wanted to make Aliyah for many years, but when he read Parsha, I mean, of course, this was after he had made the decision, but it struck home when he said he had T-shirts made, and when he said from the Parsha of Matos Maseh, when he said, Moshe said to Klal Yisrael, that the B'nai Yisrael, they're Achechem, Ha'achechem, Teshvu Po, that your brothers are going to fight, and you're staying home in Chutz La'aretz, that doesn't work. And that sort of like sealed the deal for him in his mind when he was thinking about the Pasuk, the Ha'achechem Yovo La'milchama V'atem Teshvu Po, and you're going to remain here in Chutz La'aretz. And he realized that he had T-shirts made with that Pasuk on it. And that sort of sealed the deal for him to go to Eretz Yisrael now, and he'll be living in Beit Shemesh, Me'eretz Hashem, and they'll be laying in a few hours. And this parsha is, the reason we say that, is that as I started off in the beginning, and it said, V'ato Yisrael, Ato Over Hayom Es Hayarden. Shema Yisrael, Ato Over Hayom Es Hayarden. You're going over the Yarden now, getting ready to live there. And of course, it was very meaningful since I've told you he turned 40 this year. And B'nai Israel wandered in the Midbar, Hamolech Echa, Bamidbar. They were going wandering in the Midbar for 40 years. I told them the first 25 years were my fault. The last 15 years were yours because he had thought he would make it earlier. Many times he was thinking about it, but now he finally made that decision, which I'm very proud of. But of course, we're concerned about what's going on there. And Moshe has the same thought process when he's telling Klal Yisrael that he tells them, "V'zocharto es kol haderech asher holichecha b'midbar ha'gadol hazeh anachosh sarof yakrov v'tzimo'on asher in moyim." And he's telling them all these things, but the most important part of that pasuk is, what was the reason he's trying to explain to Klal Yisrael? What was the reason that I made you go through these, the main reason for 40 years? Of course, we know that it was the Chet HaMeraglim that caused them to wander for 40 years in the Midbar. Atom Kol Ador, Hoseh Horah, till this generation that committed what was alive at the time of the crime of the Dor, the Meraglim. But the reality was they had so many other things. Perhaps the people who didn't, maybe he could take the other generation in. There's a lot of ways we could explain various things. But now, since they had this lack of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem needed them before a play opens on Broadway. Unfortunately, it has to go through many dress rehearsals, many previews, until it's fine-tuned and ready to appear before a live audience. And this is the same thing here. I needed you, V'zochartu es kol haderech. I need you to remember all the 40 years that you spent in Midbar. Everything that happened will come to fruition, will help you in the future years. All these small or major skirmishes that you've had in the Midbar with the surrounding nations, some bigger than others, but this was only a forerunner to what will now be when you're conquering the land. This is for keeps. And now you're fighting on your own. I mean, of course, I'm behind you. But now you're going into the land and you're going to spread out. This is not going to be one cohesive unit, but you're going in there to fight for the land with your families, and you need it to be united. You need it to come together as a nation. And this was living for 40 years together in close quarters would bring you together. I think all of those the people who have been to a bungalow colony know that the friends you make when you're dorming in yeshiva or when you're in a bungalow colony in the summer because you're living in close quarters, everybody gets to know each other very intimately. And the point is, it creates a tremendous sense of unity. And God understood that Klal Yisrael needed that after being living separately in the in Mitzrayim. Each man for himself now needed to grow up an entire generation dependent one on the other to literally be brothers, even though they may be related or not, but each one to feel for each other person. And that's what Klal Yisrael is all about. And Moshe goes on to give them, I entitled the story tonight, Backstory. And why now? Because at the end of 40 years, he needs to explain to them various things that happened. And not the least of all is a couple of things that happened with the Egel. And what he tells them with the Chet HaEgel is really an unbelievable thing that he's letting his heart out now. He explains to them what he had to do and pray for them previously, that God wanted to destroy them. And he tells them something else. B'nai Yisrael, he could see on their faces certain things that they're thinking. We always know when a teacher looks at a class, or when you look at your child, and you could tell he's has something on his mind. And what Klal Yisrael had on their mind, very simply, is how come we were being punished, all the people that died for the Chet or Egel, and it was Aaron who made the Egel, and he seemingly would have been the worst. He enabled us to go through that whole thing with the Egel. 3,000 people died, approximately 3,000. Many other people were punished, living with a guilty conscience. That was considered one of their major errors. And yet Aaron, who fashioned the Egel, is not punished. And Moshe says, V'Aaron hisanaf Hashem mi'od lahashmido. You think that Aaron got away with it? He did not get away with it. Because the truth of the matter is, the same way I prayed for your survival, and that when I told HaKadosh Baruch Hu that what are the rest of the world going to think if you destroy the whole nation, I had to tell him the same thing for Aaron HaKohen. I had to tell him the same thing because God wanted to destroy him, same as anybody else. Miod lahashmido. God And I had to pray for Aaron at that time as well. If not, Aaron would be destroyed himself. And not only that, but he suffered a great loss as well, because that was one of the factors involved in the loss of his two eldest sons, Nadav and Avihu. Aaron paid a great price. Don't think not. And not only that, but while you've seen that I went up on top of the mountain, God gave me the ability. At least I'm not going into the land, but at least Ur-Eh, climb the mountain and you will see the land of Israel. At least gave him the ability to see the land through supervision or plain sight that he had with his own sight. Aaron did not even get that. So don't think he got away with it. And just as I mentioned previously, whenever it says Shem Mace, when it says Vayikaver Shem, that means they died there and they were buried there. But one might ask the question, why does it have to say they died there and they were buried there? And we're telling that about Aaron because perhaps when Aaron died, Shem Mace Aaron Vayikaver Shem, is the people might ask, perhaps we are transporting the bones of Yosef. For the last 40 years, we've been carrying the bones of Yosef. No, Aaron doesn't even get that part. He doesn't even get to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Shem Mace Aaron died in the Midbar. Vayikaver Shem. Shem Mace Vatamas Shem Miriam Vatikaver Shem. She died there. She was buried there. Her bones and Aaron's bones, we are not carrying them into the land of Eretz Yisrael. And that's why it's really very easily understood. When Moshe finally passes away at the end of Zos HaBracha, when it says, Vatamo Shem Moshe, Vayamo Shem Moshe, Eved Hashem, it doesn't say Vatikover Shem because he had his own area, his own space. He transcends. We don't know where Moshe is buried. It's seemingly in Chutz Laaretz, but as we said, part of last week's Parsha, that the Torah, we call it Toras Moshe. When we go Hagba and we say that Pasuk, that when we get ready to go Hagba and we say that this was Zos HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe, Moshe was the teacher of Klal Yisrael, and therefore he goes on. And his life goes on through the words of other people. And we hope that when we bring up generations after generation, even if some of us do not get the zchus to live in the land of Eretz Yisrael, if we bring up future generations that do and go to Eretz Yisrael and they learn from us, that Moshe, even though he did not physically get to go into Eretz Yisrael, but all the mitzvot that Bnei Yisrael do are on his account. And every time we get the Aliyah, every time we say the Torah, we call it Toras Moshe. And this is what we do with Aaron. We don't see anybody quoting Aaron very often, certainly not Miriam, various things, very minor. But Moshe, he continues. It doesn't say Vati Vayikaver Sham, and he was buried there, because we don't know. He has his own dimension. He is not buried the way a normal person was buried. And therefore, while he died in Chutz Laaretz, he wasn't in that respect. And it's a big schus for us all to at least have some say for future generations. When I did not say when we had the Chazak a couple of weeks ago, but I always like to finish off every Chazak, which I did not say then, is that every time when we finish the Torah, Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, it's seemingly when we finish Sefer Devarim, it's the end of the Torah and the Bnei Yisrael are going into Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, they're going without Moshe and they're beginning to feel the loss, and they're now a little bit, some of them, and certainly the Tzaddikim, understand that the loss of Moshe is very difficult to recover from it. As we know, Yeshua, as great as he was, would not be on a level of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that causes some anguish among some of the people. But we always say, Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek. For me, as I said today, this week, now that one of my sons has finally made, that my father's side of the family comes from Eretz Yisrael, and now the family has begun to return. May we all be zeicha to return to the land of Eretz Yisrael and live there in peace and in harmony. There's a machlokis between the Arbar Benel and the Rambam. What exactly is peace? And we talk about over here in the Kimei HaShemayim Al HaOretz, when we read the end, the second parak of Kriya Shema, it says, Kimei HaShemayim Al HaOretz. What is so special about Kimei HaShemayim Al HaOretz? We might ask, because when we say Oser Shalom B'Mromov, in heaven there is peace, but what does peace mean? The Rambam makes an interesting interpretation of peace. When two people are arguing, and a lot of times we have this phrase that we use a lot today, and it says, we can't agree, but let's agree to disagree, respect each other's opinion. I'm Beis Shammai, I'm Beis Hillel, I respect you and you respect me, but our opinions differ and I will go my way and you go your way. The Arbar Benel says that's not peace. Peace means the two people come together and they finally come to some common ground where they can actually agree with each other and become friends, not agree to disagree. They don't disagree anymore. They've reached common ground. We see what goes on in the world today. Even if there's a ceasefire, does that mean a temporary ceasefire? Obviously not a permanent ceasefire. What we look for is that the parsha ends, that when we go into the land of Eretz Yisrael, when we have the peace, it should be Kimei HaShemayim, like what the world is in the heavens above, where God resides, where it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the angels, because Oseh Shalom B'Mromov, in the heavens above, there is true peace according to all, and especially according to the Arbar Benel. What we hope for in our time period, that we have a peace, not just like the Rambam says, But the peace that the Abarbanel says is true peace when the people actually agree and we could have a true peace and not just a ceasefire. Have a good week, and we wish everybody well. May we all see each other in the land of Israel in the future. Thank you.
May your class bring Mashiach.
Thank you.